church.
So, you know, it is, I'm not going to really rehash a lot of what Pastor Mike said, but it is important. You know, I know that there are things that that can make you feel uncomfortable, and uncomfortable doesn't always mean wrong. Uncomfortable just means you're not used to it, right? But the thing is, the cool thing is, the Lord has given us the Spirit of God in order for us to be able to know, and then further also, He has given us Scripture to be able to be to serve to correct our hearts and our minds also as well. So that's important. You know, it's an important thing to allow the Lord. You know, there are people, believe, there's this one speaker, I mean, I don't really listen to him anymore, but I remember he used to say, some people don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe or something to that effect, you know, like, because they'll say that they believe this one scripture, but they don't like the other one. Like I remember him saying, like, he said, but what do you mean you don't believe that? Like it says it right here. He says, oh, we don't believe that one in our church. Like, what does that even mean? What do you mean you don't believe that one? Like, you can just pick and choose, like, which commandments you want. Like, that's an inside joke. But so it's just good. You know, I you know, the Lord shows you, there are things I don't understand. There are things that the Lord has said to me that I don't understand. There are things that maybe I can see with my eyes that I don't fully understand. But just because I don't understand something doesn't mean that I disregard it or that I put it away. You know, when you don't understand something that you can see in Scripture, I mean, that's probably a very, very good counsel to give you. When you see something that's in Scripture and then you see it in real life and you don't understand it, don't disregard it. Put it in the back of your mind and the Lord will explain it to you, but never throw it away. Never throw it away, because that's where we end up, is where a lot of places, where a lot of churches are, where they'll say, we agree with this because we're comfortable with this. We will disagree with this because we don't feel comfortable with it, right? Or we have no way of explaining it, right? We don't know how it works. So it's really interesting that because of ignorance, we'll disregard something that the Lord is saying or doing because of just plain ignorance, you know? So that's why it's called ignorance, right? Ignorance is, when someone is ignorant, they actually think sometimes that they are actually doing the right thing. They're just ignorant to the truth. So they don't know what they don't know. So because they don't know it, they ignore it, you know? But a person that's listening to the Lord will listen to the Lord no matter whether they understand it fully or not. And it's cool the way, you know, throughout the weeks, days, weeks, months, years, the Lord shows you. You know, there's something that I did want to talk to you tonight, because it's been something that the Lord has been teaching me about, and I think it's very good. And it is, you know, in talking about predestination, right? Predestination is something that is highly misunderstood in the church today. You know, people believe, you know, if predestination is really a thing, then that means, predestination means, you know, like beforehand, destined, right? Another way to say predestined, like you were before, this was before established for you that this would be your end, right? Predestined, another way to say that is also preordained. In other words, it was ordered this way beforehand, right? So when people think about that, obviously the problem with people misunderstanding predestination is that they don't understand. They don't understand really the one that enlightens the mind and removes the blindness, right? There is absolutely no way to read Scripture, no way at all to read Scripture without allowing Jesus Christ to remove the blindness from your eyes, because you'll read it all day long. There are thousands upon thousands of people that read Scripture every single day and cannot see what it means, because they don't allow Jesus Christ, right, to remove the blindness. It says that the veil from the eyes of people that are reading Scripture and can't understand, the veil is removed in Christ only. He is the only one that can remove the veil from the eyes of people so that they can see. The veil is only removed in Christ. The veil is only removed in Christ. So how do you understand predestination? Well, predestination, right, has everything, obviously, to do with Jesus, right? Everything. Predestination has everything to do with Him. And the reason why many things, including predestination, are misunderstood is because we don't understand faith, right? If you understand faith in Jesus Christ, If you understood that scripture testifies about him, and that the one that your heart is being corrected to or renewed to, and so the knowledge of the Son, right? Then we would understand so many things. So many things. If we would not lean on our own understanding, but we would just acknowledge him and allow him to teach us, right? If we would lean not on our own understanding, right? What Pastor Mike was saying before, well, we've had so many people, I mean, an incredible amount of people come, like the message, and then get offended at something. The only reason why that occurs is because people lean on their own understanding. Jesus said it to multitudes of people. Does this offend you? He knew what was in men. Men get offended. Why do they get offended? Because it bothers their mind. So when they lean on their mind, then they're offended, right? Because something doesn't match their mind, right? But that's not how we learn, right? That's not how our mind is renewed. Our mind is renewed by giving entrance to the Spirit of God into our heart to teach us, and that's it. You don't have to learn it. You don't have to memorize it. You don't have to repeat it. You don't have to put it on index cards. You don't have to put it in your pocket. You don't have to carry your Bible around in your back pocket. You don't have to have the Bible on your phone. It's not about any of that, right? It's about giving entrance to the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. Abraham was way before your cell phone, way before your Bible, way before the printed page, way before there was ever even scripture, right? And he learned the gospel. Abraham is your father of faith, and he learned the gospel. Well, how did he learn it? Right? He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a smartphone. He didn't have YouTube. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have books. He didn't have authors. He didn't have pastors. He didn't have teachers, right? He had the Spirit of God. That's all that he had. That's all that he had, right? So that will tell you a lot right there. That's all that he had. And the only one that teaches us today is the same Spirit that taught Abraham, right? The same Spirit that taught it. It doesn't matter if you read something on your phone and the Lord teaches you. The medium by which you see it is not the point. It's just the teacher. Who is the teacher? Many, many less misunderstandings that there would be if we just let the Spirit of God teach us. So predestination. So let's touch on something here real quick. If I can find it for you very, very quickly. Romans chapter 8. If we can look at that. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 30. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 30. And let's go up a little bit. I always do that to you. look at verse number 29. And this is speaking about God. It says, for whom he foreknew. So here's very simple, right? The Lord knows the beginning from the end. That's simple, right? He knew, right, who it was that would believe him, right? He spoke to Abraham. He already knew Abraham would believe him. He already knew that. Did Abraham have to believe him? Of course he did. Did God know that Abraham would believe him? Yes, he did, right? That's not really difficult to understand, right? That God knows the beginning and the end, right? He understands this. He obviously, the Lord ordered beforehand and knew the Savior, right? Named the Savior, knew the Savior before man was ever even created. There was a Savior of the world before man was created, obviously before sin was created, because there was no sin without man, but even before man was, there was already a Savior, right? There was already a Savior. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Light was from the beginning. Light was from the beginning. So there was already a Savior. Now get this. This is really important. The Savior was not the Savior when someone saw him, right? The Savior did not start being the Savior when somebody saw him. You know what that's called? A manifestation. That's what that's called, a manifestation. I know to most people, manifestation is just stuff that go ooh, ooh, and give you tinkles down your back, right? Tinkles down your back. I don't even know what a tinkle down your back is, but goosebumps down your back, right? So something is not real when it's manifested. You have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. If you never believe a single solitary thing that the Lord has ever given you, and you never grow in the knowledge of Christ one iota, he's still in you, and in you is every gift of the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. And that's not hard to understand, right? How is every gift in me? Because he's in you. Where do we think the gift comes from? Do we think like the Spirit of God in one person is called the Word of Knowledge? No, it's just him. It's a person. It's not like individual superpowers that are given out to people. This is coming from a person in you, right? It's coming from the Spirit of God on the inside of you. So So he knew beforehand, right? He knew beforehand. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate. Whom he foreknew, right? Whom he knew in his knowledge that would accept him, he predestined them. He preordained something for them. Now watch this. So the Lord knew that sin would come in. And he knew in his foreknowledge that there are people who would receive that salvation. And to those that would receive that salvation, he preordained. In other words, he preordered before the world was. He preordered, preordained, ordered it this way that it would be, right? And that's why we say amen, right? Let it be then, right? That's what amen is, not the end of a prayer. Amen says, so be it as you have said. You know, some people say, oh, so they hung Judas and they say, amen. Well, you're saying it the wrong spot there, buddy. If you're going to say amen, know what it means. Amen means so be it, right? So be it. So you're agreeing with what somebody's saying, and you're saying, so be it then. Let it be that way, right? So he preordained or preordered, because watch this. There are people today, and I was already, the Lord already put on my heart already two people tonight, but there are people who look at their condition in life, right? They look at their condition in their life, their situation, right? And you know what they say? I don't see a very good outlook for myself in the future. And you know what they may be looking at? They may be looking at the economy. They may be looking at their education. They may be looking at their intellect, how smart they are, right? They may be looking at their IQ. So people judge their future by what they think they possess today, whether they're smart enough, whether they got far enough into school, whether they've done. Listen, but don't mix up your ideas of success with what God calls purpose, right? Don't mix up the two. You have if you are the Lord's and the Lord is yours, the Lord has preordained, predestined you with a reason why you are and what continually should be happening in your life. You know what that is? He preordained and predestined that you would be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, that you would become as Christ is on this earth, right? So contrary to the purpose-driven whatever, contrary to the popular things that people like to teach, there is a purpose in every single born-again believer. And God has preordained to everyone that in his foreknowledge he knew would believe them, their purpose is not to be a doctor. Their purpose is not to be a lawyer. Their purpose is not to be a painter, to be a yoga instructor, right? Our purposes do not lie in our career, right? God is very clear. Those whom he predestined, he said he predestinated them or predestined or preordained that they would be conformed to the image of his son. No matter what you see your present circumstance like, remember, there are things that we can do in the meantime that we can make money and the Lord can prosper us and he'll prosper our hand and the Lord will promote us and the Lord gives us his favor, but don't mix up the Lord prospering you and adding things to you to your purpose, right? God does not prosper you in something worldly for you to think that that's your purpose in life, right? God does not give you money because he thinks you can handle it. God prospers you, right, because that's you have the blessing of God on you no matter who you are, what education, you know, what grade you got up to, right? So never limit. Never, ever, ever limit the purpose of God in your life to your education, to how you see the economy, how you see that other people are prospering, because that's what happens when we compare ourselves among ourselves, which is not wise, right? Which is not why scripture says, compare ourselves among ourselves. You see the way this individual over here is prospering, and you say, I'm not like that person, so how can I? Right? But remember that it is God that gives us the power to wealth, that it is God who prospers, that it is God that will bring us into a situation that you neither worked for, right? It is God that will bring us into a situation that you neither worked for, neither did you earn it, but you find yourself in it, right? Listen, the blessedness of a man, the blessedness of a man that does not work, but that receives from what Jesus Christ has already done. The blessedness of a man, right? I mean, listen, you could have no signs in your life of being a blessed individual, but you don't start being blessed when you see it, right? Because that's our problem, right? We think that things begin when we see them, right? Listen, there was a righteous man. His name was Simeon. There was a righteous man, righteous and devout, right? Righteous and devout. The Lord told him, right? Preach the gospel to that man. The only way you become righteous is by faith, in case we were wondering, right? It's not because he was a good man. It was that he was a righteous man. It says he was righteous and devout, right? Upright and devout. So it was because of his faith in Jesus. Now, the Lord made this promise to him. You will see the Savior with your physical eyes before you leave this earth. You will see the Savior with your physical eyes. But he didn't start believing in the Savior when he saw him, right? Because that would go contrary to anything anyway, because what he saw was a babe, right? What he saw was a baby. He didn't see Jesus on the cross. He just saw a baby, right? So his faith was in Jesus. Abraham's faith was in who? Jesus. He never saw him. He was, I don't even know how many hundreds of years, right? How many hundreds of years Abraham was before Jesus, right? Before he didn't even know Jesus' name was Jesus, I don't think, right? But he knew of the Savior, and he rejoiced. He, in his own heart, rejoiced to see the day of Jesus Christ, right? He rejoiced to see the day of Christ. But what? But he never saw it. So a manifestation is something that is seen, right? But as far as God is concerned, it has always been. A manifestation of the Spirit is something that you can see outwardly, right? The Spirit of God do something, but it doesn't mean it wasn't in you. Right? So when you begin to prosper financially, it's not when you were prosperous. You've been prosperous, right? You have been prosperous. You have had the power to wealth. I'm not saying you have a cash register on the inside of you that pumps money out of your mouth. I'm saying that you have the power to wealth, right? God empowers you to these things. Everything you set your hand to does what? He prospers those things, right? Ideas to your mind, things, right? The Lord prospers you to this end, right? He adds things to you. And here's the beautiful thing. Out of everything that we're talking about, none of that comes because you work for it. None of that comes because you work for it. So if your idea of success, if you have this thing tied in your mind that says my success as a human being is tied to my education, you're going down the wrong road in your mind. You're tying success to what you think you know in this world, right? And that is not how it works. In the kingdom, at least, that's not how it works, right? And we know this, right? Just because when you see so many examples of men that had faith in God, right? None of those men, right? The majority of those men were not great in wisdom. In other words, in the wisdom of the world. They were not, even among us, the Lord says that not many wise. It doesn't mean that there are none wise, but not many wise, right? Not many powerful, not many that had all of the qualifications, worldly qualifications, but yet nonetheless, right? Nonetheless, the Lord has what? He's prospered us. That's good to see. So it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. If you ever were wondering what your purpose in life is, God came on the inside of you, and his desire is that your outward, obviously inwardly, you don't have to be conformed to the image of his son. He already united you with himself, right? Your spirit is just fine. It doesn't need spiritual food. It doesn't need spiritual cornflakes. You are already perfect in your spirit. It is your mind and your body that need to fall in line with who you already are. You are already a new creation, right? You ever wonder that? It says that we are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As far as I know, the day that I got saved, my body stayed the same. I didn't change in my body. Now, my body can change, right? I can receive youth to my body. I can receive health to my body that goes contrary to the deterioration in this world. But physically and mentally, right? Mentally, I had changed somewhat, right? Because we believed and had faith in Jesus. But what happens? What God is doing, how is he conforming you to the image of his son, right? He's conforming you by renewing your mind, right? By renewing your mind, and that obviously does affect your body and affects everything else about you. But it says that whom he foreknew, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So that's one predestination. If you say, have we been predestined? Yes, we have. Am I predestined? Yes. To what? To be conformed to the image of Christ. In other words, the destiny that God has for me is that outwardly, right, outwardly and in my heart, I will be as he is, right? To the unrighteous man, God said in Isaiah, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, right? That's to an unrighteous man, not to the righteous man. God is saying, learn of me, right? Learn me, let me teach you.
But the unrighteous man, he says, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, for his thoughts are not my thoughts, and his ways are not your ways. Isn't it funny that he's talking to an unrighteous man and the church takes it like he's talking to us? Lord, your thoughts are not my thoughts. What does that do? It disqualifies you to be able to have the mind of God. Now, isn't that contrary to Scripture? Because Scripture says that you have the mind of Christ. So because we can't explain that, you know what people do? They ignore that. I don't know how many churches you ever heard them talk about the mind of Christ, but they ignore that because they can't explain it. If his thoughts are not my thoughts and his ways are not my ways, right? How can his ways not be my ways, right? I'm following Jesus Christ, right, into everything that he has already given me. Of course his ways are my ways. Jesus Christ is the way, right? He is the way. He is the only way to the Father. Of course his ways have become our ways, right? And his thoughts definitely are becoming our thoughts when what? When our mind is renewed. I mean, I don't know what we think our mind is being renewed to, the thoughts of who? If our mind is not being renewed to the thoughts of God, how is it being renewed to what, right? Obviously to the thoughts of God, to the mind of God, which we possess. So at the time when you begin more and more to think as he does, is not the time that you believe you have the mind of Christ. You don't have the mind of Christ when it's manifest in your brain, right? You have the mind of Christ since the day you were saved. We have the mind of Christ. Past tense, why? Because you have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit that knows all things, yes, even the deep things of God. You have on the inside. You haven't received the spirit of the world, but you have received the Spirit of God that you might know all of the things that have been freely given to you. So obviously you know, you have in you, right, the Spirit that knows everything of God. And what is he to you? The teacher. So what is he teaching you? The thoughts of God, right? Teaching you the gospel. So watch what he says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is he? The firstborn among many. You ever wonder who the many are? They're not the angels. The angels are not the many. He is the firstborn among many brethren, right? Why would he be the firstborn? Listen, the firstborn among many brethren. If I had Michael was my first, right? And then Lindsay was my second. And then if I would have had 50 more kids, right? He was the firstborn among many brothers, right? Among many brethren. We are born of God, Scripture says, right? We are born of him. The new creation that we have been made, obviously, was not Satan that we were born of. The new creation that we were made was not of this world. That's why it says that we were born of God, right? We were born of his Spirit. We were born of an incorruptible seed, right? It was God that gave us the life that we possess today. So this newness of life that we have is to be conformed to the image of his Son. So he says in verse number 30, "For moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." That word glorified there is that he gave you his glory. To be glorified is he gave you his glory. How can we say that we have the glory of God? Because he gave us his Spirit. The same Spirit that is the Father's is the Son's. And the same Spirit that is the Father's and the Son's is in us. How do we know that? Jesus even said in John 14, he said, "I go away, right, and I go to prepare a place for you." People think that God is up there, Jesus is up there with 2x4s building houses for us, right? But he's not, right? Because he's a carpenter, so he's building houses. You know, we have this all messed up and misconstrued in our mind, right? We are the spiritual household of God, right? And each and every single one of us are a living stone in that temple. We are possessors of the glory of God. We are the habitation of the Father and of the Son, right? That, and the glory that we possess, which we are also called the New Jerusalem, we are also called Zion, right? We, the church, in Revelation 21, when we are seen, he said, "Let me show you the bride of Christ." And when she is seen, what do they see? That the glory that she possesses is the glory of God. How do we know that that's true? Because we've been glorified. When were we glorified? The day you received his glory. When did we receive his glory? The day that you received the Spirit of God. You received the glory of God, right? So let's go a little bit further. A little bit further. If we can go then, here's something that was pretty cool. I was just having a little discussion with the Lord, and he was just teaching me, you know, because I had heard that before I think it is in Revelation. It's in Revelation. Let's just go there real quick. Revelation 13:8, if we can. Revelation 13:8. And just for what, before we go there, it says, moreover, we just read, whom he predestinated, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. There are people that you will encounter that will tell you that, we were saved because God predestined us to be saved. Right? But what their meaning is kind of like, we didn't have to do anything. Like, you don't have to have faith in Jesus. You just are saved because that's how he said. So in other words, like, whoever God wills to be saved, they're going to be saved. And whoever he doesn't will to be saved isn't going to be saved. Right? Like, in an entire portion of the body of Christ, they teach predestination that way, right? Now, that is wrong on so many different levels. The first thing is, why would you ever even have to preach the gospel? Why do people have to hear, right? Why do people have to have faith in Jesus Christ? If not, but here is a cute little tidbit that's found in there, that it says that whom he did predestinate or preordained, and we already read, to be conformed to the image of his son. They just don't read the whole thing, right? They don't see that we were predestined to be or to be conformed to the image of his son. They just hone in on that verse in verse number 30. But it says that them he also justified. Now here's what you would know. If you know anything about Jesus Christ, you would know I cannot be justified apart from faith. Right? Is it what have we learned from Abraham, it says? That if a man could be justified by his works, then he could boast. He said, but not Abraham, because Abraham was justified. Righteousness, in other words, was imputed unto him by his faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So righteousness was imputed to him. But what did God know about Abraham? That he would believe him and that he would teach his children the gospel as well, right? So God knew that in his foreknowledge. So it's just so many cool things there. But justified is cool because when you see, oh, he justified me. How did he justify me if not through faith in Jesus? You can't be justified any other way. It is impossible. It is impossible. Therefore, it says, we know that it is impossible for a man to be justified through the law. It is impossible. You cannot be justified through the law because no man can keep the law perfectly, right? So obviously, we're justified only by faith in Jesus. And then in Revelation 13:8, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, right? All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life. And it's an interesting thing. Most people stop there. In the book of life, stop. But that's not what it says there. It says, we'll worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. This is the name of the book. The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, you ever think about that? Like, Lord, how is that? How do you reconcile that? He was slain? In other words, he was slain, it says, before the foundation of the world. But we know from Scripture, he was crucified in Jerusalem with tons of people around him. So what do you mean that he was slain before the foundation of the world? That means that he was, has always been the Lamb of God. From the beginning, he was the Lamb. From the beginning, he was the Lamb. So in just this little conversation that I was having with the Lord, I just said, that's when he just began to teach me about that word that we mentioned before about manifestation. So I said to the Lord, I said, so that means that Jesus Christ, the one that we know and the one that was seen, he was a manifestation of your salvation, right? A manifestation. In other words, when he is seen, right? John says, and the word, and it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, and the Word became flesh. What? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the day what was revealed. What was revealed? Salvation. We were talking before and we didn't finish, right, about Simeon. Simeon saw the salvation of God. In other words, actually, he said in let me see if I can find it for you. I think it's Luke. Yeah. In Luke 2:30, he says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You see how cool that is? He said, my eyes have seen your salvation. He was looking at a baby. He was looking at a baby. And he comes to that baby as an elderly man, and he says, he's just thankful, rejoicing in himself. My eyes have seen what? Your salvation. He didn't even have to know his name was Jesus. He didn't have to know that, but he knew what? He knew he was the Christ. Why? Because the Christ means the one that is anointed of God to save, right? The one anointed of God. So he saw this baby and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. But it says that he was already a devout man before he ever saw him. Before he ever saw what? Before he ever saw the manifestation of the gospel that was preached to him, that was preached to Abraham, that was preached to Jacob, that was preached to all of the Hebrews 11 that Pastor Mike was talking about. The majority of all of those men are all Old Testament saints. And they are called saints. Why? Because they had faith. And everything that they did and everything that was accomplished by them and all the armies that they overrun, all of the lions' mouths that were closed, all of the victories that they received by one way, faith in Jesus Christ. But how can you say faith in Jesus? That sounds so weird that Abraham had faith in Jesus. I don't have to know the verse that Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day and have the Pharisees react like, you're crazy. How could Abraham rejoice to see your day? You're not even 50 years old, right? You know what that's called? Natural thinking. And you know what it will always do? Get offended, because it won't know and it won't ever know. Natural thinking cannot receive the things of God. You can never know the things of God. You will be oblivious and ignorant to the things of God while you think naturally. How do you stop thinking naturally? Acknowledge Him and say, Lord, you teach me. I don't care what I know. I don't care what I know or how I know it or who taught it to me. You teach me. You teach me. If we've taught you anything in here, it's to acknowledge Him, let Him teach you, and you'll see how quickly you begin to learn. Oh, but I'm not that smart, you know, I only made it to the third grade. So you think that if you're really intelligent, you can actually know God better. There are lots of Yale graduates that are the most ignorant people upon the face of the earth. You know why? Because they deny the very existence of a Savior, right? So it's not about your college education. It's not about the Bible school you went to. It's about acknowledging the Lord in all of your ways, and you have a promise that He will make that which is crooked in your mind straight, right? He will make that which is crooked in your mind straight. So He saw, He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. So what did He see? He saw the manifestation of He that is our salvation, right? So the one that was before the beginning, right? The one that was before the beginning was already Savior, and Abraham, which is all the way in the book of Genesis, had faith in who? That Savior. That Savior. He had faith in that Savior. Who did Moses have faith in? That Savior. Moses said that there is a prophet that will come after me. Him will you hear. Him will you listen to, right? He wasn't calling him Jesus. Maybe he didn't even know the name would be Jesus, right? It's not recorded until later that it says, and his name will be called Jesus, right? So the point is not the name, the point is faith in a Savior, right? And his eyes, Simeon's eyes, rejoiced. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. So he saw a manifestation, but he was a man of faith before he ever saw it, right? So that's what I told the Lord. I said, that is so cool, Lord, that Jesus was a manifestation, an outward appearing, something that we can touch and see of your salvation. Right? Now many of the disciples began to believe when they saw Jesus do certain things. That's why he would ask him. He says, now you believe? Now? Because you see it, now you believe? That's not how it works, you know, right? Now you believe. No, you don't believe. You're getting there, but you don't believe, because you don't believe by seeing, right? Because there's one little thing we skip over then, faith, right? If you believe by seeing, then it's not faith, because you don't have to have faith for what you see, right? You don't have to have faith for what you see. So here's a cool little thing the Lord brought me to. I think you'll like it, and I'm going to be wrapping up here. It says, let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Let me bring you there real quick. Luke chapter 11. You know, I just don't want to, I want to make sure that this is not missed, right? The thing that's woven through these things that the Lord is saying is, you know what? Truth is not truth when you see it. Truth is not truth about you when you see it. You are not prosperous when you see money, right? You are not rich when you see money. Jesus looked at the poverty of the church. And he said, I see your poverty. He said, I see your poverty, but what do you not know? He said, that you're rich. But they saw themselves as what? Poor. So God looks at you as rich. You see yourself as poor. Who's correct? Who needs to have their mind renewed to what is truth? Truth is truth no matter when you saw it. Faith in Jesus would make a man righteous whether you live in the book of Genesis or whether you're part of the glory of God after the book of Acts. It would still bring you the same righteousness. Abraham did not have a separate righteousness from mine. The righteousness that Abraham possessed was the righteousness of faith. The righteousness that we possess is a righteousness of faith that comes from this faith in the exact same Savior. In the exact same Savior. Luke 11, I think it's all the way down at the bottom. Verse number, It's hard to start right in the middle of the stuff. Let's try from verse number 48, and I think we're still right in the middle of it, but it's okay, because I want to get down to verse number 50. But verse number 48 says, "Truly you bear witnesses that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them," speaking of those that preach the gospel, "and you build their sepulchres." It says, "Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets," watch, "that the blood of all the prophets which was shed," that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. So what that's talking about there, that it says that the blood of the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world. So there are different meanings there, where it says from the foundation of the world, since the foundation of the world. So there's different ways that it's used. But here the foundation of the world means beginning, right? From the beginning. Obviously, because prophets did not exist before the world was. So it's meaning their beginning. So let's jump down, if we can, then to 1 Peter. Just wanted to show you that real quick there. I actually didn't know that I was going to go there, but that's okay. That's good. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. This is good. Look at verse number 18. 1 Peter 1:18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things," you were not purchased out of this world with things that are corruptible, like silver or gold. God didn't buy you with money. God didn't redeem you from slavery the way you could go into a country and buy a slave out of his situation, right? It wasn't with silver and gold. It wasn't with corruptible things. In other words, it wasn't with worldly things that God bought you out, right? So, I mean, that would tell you something in and of itself, right? People don't feel redeemed until they have a sense of the liberty that they possess. But you're redeemed the day you receive the Spirit of God. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. That doesn't mean run around the room. That means that there's liberty. You could run around the room if you want, but that doesn't mean that you're free when you run around the room, right? That, oh, I'm just kind of a little bit shy, so that you think, oh, you're not experiencing the freedom of God. No, you're free the day you receive the Spirit of God, because where he is, there is liberty. You can't have the Spirit of God and not be free, because you can't have the Spirit of God and not be redeemed. So you were redeemed the day you were redeemed through the cross, and you receive that redemption the day that you receive the Spirit of God, right? And you have that liberty in you. But it says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, which is just talking about your past life, right, by the traditions of your fathers. It says, but in verse number 19, but with the precious blood of Jesus as of a lamb. So this is talking about, how were you redeemed? By the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So that's talking about what? The cross, right? See how he always brings your mind back to the cross, back to what he already finished. Not what he wants you to do, what Jesus already did. Not what God wants you to do, what he already did. I know people love to ask God that, Lord, what do you want me to do? And his answer to you is, I don't want you to do nothing. I want you to receive from what my son already did. Everybody wants to know, God, what do you want me to do? And God wants you to know what he already did. We spend more time asking God, what do you want me to do, than understanding what he already did, right? It's just, we talk too much, I think it is, right? We talk too much. It doesn't mean we preach too much. It means we talk too much and don't listen to him enough, right? That's what we're talking about. We don't listen to him enough. He says, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, in verse number 19, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, which means truly, who verily was foreordained, speaking about Jesus, right? It says the Lamb of God, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, which means without sin, right? He was a man without sin that took our sin. It says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. What did that just say? He was foreordained to be the Savior, but was manifest in these last days. Now, that's exactly what I told the Lord, and I did not even know that verse existed, right? I said to him, Lord, so then Jesus Christ was the manifestation then of your salvation. But he's always been the Savior. He's always been our salvation. So what does it say right there? It says that we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, which means who truly, was foreordained or preordained or ordained beforehand. It says before the foundation of the world. In other words, before the beginning, he was ordained beforehand by God, but was manifest. That means he was seen in these last days. In other words, he was seen 2,000 years ago. That's when somebody saw saw. That's when Simeon saw the baby and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. But that's not when faith in Jesus could begin, right? That's not when faith in Jesus could begin. The people of Israel that wandered around in the wilderness, it says, what was their problem? What was the sin that kept them out of the promised land? What was the sin that kept them out of their inheritance? The exact same sin that keeps us out of our inheritance, right? You cannot inherit the things of the kingdom without faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot enter into the shadow, right? The shadow, the promise. And obviously, it was never about Canaan. For them, it was, they were going to Canaan, but God was not bringing them into a promised land so that they could know that there was everywhere you could see was just milk and honey coming out of the ground, and that God just wanted to get them there so they can walk around sticky floors, right? That's obviously not the point he was making. The point he was making is that he said the same gospel that was preached to you was preached to them. Why is it that people don't, there are people who they think, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm just gonna carry around the New Testament. Like the old doesn't apply to you anymore. Jesus Christ preached to the two men on the road to Emmaus, and all that he did was speak to them about scripture that testified about him, right? The purpose of scripture is to testify about Jesus Christ. But you know why we don't think? You know why people don't think that the Old Testament doesn't talk about Jesus? Because it doesn't say the name Jesus, right? But it testified, who do we think it was? It says for that he, that Christ, it says, written in the New Testament, that Christ was the rock that was with them in the wilderness. Do we think that he was dressed up like a rock and walking around with them, right? Everywhere where they went in the wilderness, right? Of course not, right? That's ridiculous. But it says he was with them. He was the rock that was with them. What was the gospel was being preached to them. Those people, right? Who are two examples of two men that had faith in Jesus Christ that wandered in that wilderness, right? Joshua, Caleb, right? Were men that what? Had faith in Jesus Christ. What happened? They entered in, right? There are things, listen, this whole thing about predestination, you know, one of the big things, and we won't have any more time to go into it because we're going to stop right here, but one of the things that you'll see that it brings you into is that as you learn predestination correctly, that it was Christ that was predestined to be our salvation before the world ever was. And then that we then, like him, are predestined also to be conformed to the image of who he is today, seated at the right hand of the Father, after we've been glorified. That's our purpose. We've been predestined to these things, right? So I know that about you as like I know it about myself. I know my purpose and I already know your purpose. I don't have to pray for a half hour to figure out your purpose. I already know it. I don't have to put my hand on you and pretend that I'm prophesying to let you know what your purpose in life is. Your purpose and my purpose is to be conformed to the image of his son that dwells on the inside of you. That's your purpose. Whatever you do on this earth that is a worldly occupation that God can add things to you, he can add friends, he can add a wife, he can add a job, he can add a husband, right? God can add all of these things to you, right? But let's not get that confused with purpose, right? And here's where I want to finish, and maybe we'll pick up, God willing, if that's what he wants for next service, but that we would know, listen, that we would know that because we understand predestination, there's a verse that I'm going to leave you with that it could explain where we want to go to. I won't even go to it. I'll just tell you. It says, because we understand predestination and that we were predestined in Christ, I think it's Rebecca. It says Rebecca had two sons. And before those boys were ever even born yet, before they had ever done anything good or bad yet, God had already said, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated, right? Before they were ever even born, these men were not even out of the womb of their mother, right? And God already said, right, Esau I have hated, Jacob I have loved, right? The same kind of Cain and Abel type thing, right? Well, what is the difference between Cain and Abel? The same difference between Esau and Jacob. The same difference between us and people of the world that would never believe. Faith in Jesus Christ. That is the difference. That is the differentiating factor. God did not reject the offering of Cain. God rejected Cain's unbelief, right? You can't bring an offering to God and have him accept it when you don't have faith in him, right? So it says Abel in Hebrews 11 says Abel had what? Faith. Because of his faith, his offering was received. So faith is what makes you acceptable with God, not because you bring, right? Because people try to figure that out again, leaning on their own understanding. Abel brought of Abel bought of meat, a meat offering, and Cain bought vegetables. So God doesn't like vegetables, right? God wanted meat, which signifies Jesus. No, no, it's just faith, right? Right? He could have brought a mushroom to God, and it wouldn't have mattered, right? It's faith. What, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if I can leave you with this, before they had done anything right or wrong, God saved you and went to the cross before you were ever even born. And in his foreknowledge, he knew that you would receive him before you had ever done anything right or wrong, right? Let us not think that our salvation is hinged on our works when he saved you before you were ever even born. You hadn't even done anything right yet. So obviously, your salvation is not hinged on your works, right? Because he was the Lamb of God before you were ever saved, right? That's why it goes back to what? The finished work of Jesus Christ, that he finished 2,000 years ago, and faith in him started way before he was ever manifest, right? Faith in our Savior. Thank you, Jesus.
ReformInUs.com.